Josevac to the right side. Chase to the left side. To the right side he goes. Incomplete at the goal line. Washington breaking it up.
Roughing the passer, anybody?
A little bit.
I mean, come on. They call it when it's ticky-tack, and then Joe Burrow gets smacked in the face. Probably a little defensive holding, too.
A little bit.
Don't call either. And massive ramifications therein in the AFC North. And let me just start the show, and I'm going to do this twice today, actually, Doran. We'll do it again at 6:50. I'm going to start the show with this. I was dead-ass wrong. I wish the Bengals would have won that football game. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I didn't consider the math of the whole thing. If the Bengals had won that game last night, the Ravens are sitting there at 5-4, and if the Steelers take care of business the next 2 weeks, the Ravens would then be 5-5, you'd be 8-2, the Bengals would also be 5-5, you'd have a 3-game lead in the AFC North on both teams. I'm a moron. And that non-call at the end of the game looms massive now in the trajectory of the AFC
North. Yes.
The Bengals are sitting there at 4-6. They're not winning the division, obviously, and they're going to have to fight tooth and nail just to make the playoffs. But that call absolutely changes the trajectory of this division. And I should say that non-call. But there are bigger takeaways from this game. I think both offenses, no question about it, are elite. Because neither team was a great offensive juggernaut in the first half, and we saw what they're capable of in the second half. I also think both defenses very bad. And another takeaway I had coming out of the game is I think the Steelers are a more complete and better football team than both.
Yes.
You feel the same way?
Absolutely. I mean, defensively, in the first half, you texted me, you're like, man, the under looks pretty good right now. And it did. I think it was, 21-7, I think, in the first half. And then the game exploded. But the offenses are just unbelievable. I mean, once those two got going, you know why they're the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, there's no question about it. My question to you is, do you agree with going for two at the end of the game or kicking the extra point and hoping that Joe Burrow gets the ball first? Like, I know they didn't want it. They probably learned the lesson from Kansas City and Tampa Bay. I'm sure Zach Taylor saw that game and was like, you know what, I don't want to let Lamar have a chance with the ball because he probably is going to drive down the field the way that the momentum was going in the game. But do you agree with a two-point call, or would you have tried to tie it?
I would have gone for two.
Yeah.
I would have gone for two because I trust Joe Burrow the way that they had scored really all game, but particularly in the second half. The way they moved down the field to score the touchdown. Yeah, I would have gone for two. I understand what you're asking. Because it's not the same as the Chiefs and Buccaneers, because you feel like if you're playing straight up in an overtime period and you're Cincinnati, you got a better shot than Tampa's got to feel on the road in Arrowhead going up against Mahomes. But generally in those situations, I'm going for two on the road and I'm taking my swings.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I do kind of make the connection to the Chiefs game against Tampa. But the only difference, like, I agree. I don't disagree with the call of going for two. Only way that I would have tried to tie it is because of how important this game is, because it's a division game. Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay game wasn't a division game. It was, you know, AFC, NFC. Like, I would have went for two because it is what it is. Hey, if we could steal one from the Chiefs, great. That looks great on our resume. But this game, man. Yeah, I do have a lot of trust in Joe Burrow to get that two-point conversion, but this is a, as you see, you know, a crucial division game that you lose by 1 point.
No doubt. And I also think had the Bengals converted on that, I still think there's a good chance that the Ravens find their way into field goal range.
Yeah, there's about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, 38. And the Bengals defense, I don't think, is very good. And the Ravens offense is obviously elite. I think you want to go up in that situation, put all the pressure on the Ravens to go down and try to score in 38 seconds as opposed to kicking the extra point. And then you're at the whims of a coin toss. And if the Ravens happen to win that coin toss, now there's a sense of urgency because it's overtime, but not the same kind of sense of urgency where there's 38 seconds left. Like, you can run Derrick Henry then. Your entire playbook is open to you in overtime.
Yeah.
Whereas with 38 seconds left, and Lamar's been very good at dropping back and throwing it from the pocket this year. I mean, he is elite. Anybody who says otherwise ain't watching. They've got preconceived notions, maybe other stuff going on there. Come on now. I don't think you wanted them to be at their full powers in overtime.
Right. That's a good point, too.
I'm telling you, that non-roughing the passer call drives me crazy just because of the way roughing the passer has been called all year long.
Yes.
All year long. If they let other stuff go, just league-wide, 30,000 feet, globally speaking, as Mike Tomlin would say, if they're not calling all the ticky-tack ones, you know, I don't think there's any risk of Joe Burrow really getting hurt on that play, so I would have been fine with them not calling it. But they call all the ticky-tack ones,
mm-hmm.
So you got to call that one.
Yeah, there's another one, too.
Yes, there was.
Late hit.
Yeah, and that one was late.
That was late.
The ones that drive me nuts are the body weight. But when you hit a quarterback late, that's always been roughing the passer.
Or hitting him in the face.
Yes.
Like,
and it was obvious. Like that wasn't one of those ones where the pinky grazes the face
mask.
His
helmet, his head went to the side.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. So I come away from that game thinking the Steelers are a more complete team than each.
Can they keep up, though?
That is the question. Those offenses are better than the Steelers' offenses. I don't think we have to pretend like that's not the case. But I think the Steelers' defense, I burped into the microphone, is significantly better than both of these defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's defense is horrific, particularly on the back end. And oh, by the by, Kyle Hamilton. Who knows how long he's going to be out, what the issue is going to be there. He's their best secondary player, and that injury looked bad, and he was in a boot on the sideline. So he's probably not going to play against the Steelers. All right. Cincinnati, though, you have to play twice. They're formidable, and of course the Ravens are formidable. In the second half of the season, schedule for the Steelers is, no doubt about it, a gauntlet. And so my question, big picture, before we narrow it down to the game as we move forward in the show is, what do the Steelers need to do record-wise in the second half? What's realistic for them to do record-wise in the second half? 412-928-9370. I think you got to go 6-3 if you want to win the division. Like 5-4 ain't going to do it. 4-5 probably gets you to the playoffs, but that ain't going to win you the division. So I think you got to go 6-3. I think you can. That's a tall task, though.
It is.
And if they're going to, Doran, they have to win on Sunday, I think. I don't see them going into Philly and winning. They never do. Kansas City, I would never predict anybody to beat them. Doesn't mean you can't. They're vulnerable, but they don't lose, so I'm not going to predict you to win that one. You're probably going to go 3-3 in the division, 4-2 if you sweep the Browns. So you have to go 4-2 in division if you want to win it. And then Commanders would be a fifth win. And then you gotta go find one. So that's why this Commanders game is massive to me.
Where are you gonna find one?
I know.
Where are you gonna find one? What I mean, 4-2 in the division.
Mm-hmm.
What, is it gonna be the Chiefs? I mean, what other opponent do they have on their schedule outside of Philly and
let me flip it to you this way.
Okay.
So out of Washington, Philadelphia, in Kansas City, which of those three is the most winnable? I think it's this week.
I don't...
And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. They're an underdog. The Steelers are. Out of those three non-divisional matchups, this to me, is the quote-unquote easiest game. You almost have to have it if you want to win the division.
You have to win.
Yeah.
I want to say the Eagles for some reason, but I can't figure out a reason why. You know, I want to say that game, because of what the Eagles have done, you know, for the first, what, 5-6 games, it wasn't great, but they're not that same team anymore.
They're a better football team today than they were early in the season.
Yes.
Philadelphia is.
Yes.
And all of these teams... Like, Washington can run the ball. Philadelphia, with Saquon, can run the ball. That seems to be the big thorn in the side of the Steelers' defense, and maybe the Steelers' team overall is that rush defense. Those teams scare the hell out of me. I think you might have a better chance of winning Kansas City on a weird, wacky Wednesday and Christmas than you do going to Philly and winning there. They get their ass beat when they go out there, perennially.
I mean...
5-4 looks more likely than 6-3.
5-4 looks more likely.
Yeah, it does.
Because you're not going to, like...
Even if you go 4-2 in the division, 5-4 looks more likely.
I mean, you're not going to sweep the Bengals. You're not going to sweep the Ravens.
No, I don't think so.
You can sweep the Browns.
Because we all saw that with our two eyes last night.
Right.
Cincinnati, from a mathematical standpoint, has an uphill battle to make the playoffs, but that team's game.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow threw for 400 yards.
And they didn't have T. Higgins.
Yikes. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the Steelers need to do in the second half? And what will the Steelers do in the second half? We'll dive into Steelers Commanders coming up at 7 o'clock. We've got odds and ends later on in the show. Lee Sterling, our view from the other side. Lots going on today, but we're asking right now, after watching Bengals-Ravens last night, do you think the Steelers are better than those teams? And what do you think the Steelers need to do? What do you think the Steelers will do record-wise over their final nine games? 412-928-9370. That's also the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Real quick on our YouTube comments, Doran. And you can watch us live every morning on YouTube. It's a great way to consume the show. It's very popular. You can see Doran's beautiful face. Brian puts, the story this morning is the Penguins are washed AF. Boy, aren't they.
Yes, that is a story. That really is a story. I mean, just a tough watch last night. And just, you know, it's so early in the season. And it's so dark already.
It's so early, it's so late, though, right?
Yep. Daylight savings time.
Ha!
Jeez, oh, man.
They are, no bones about it, not a good hockey team. It's not just they're playing bad. No, they're not good. When they play good teams, they get throttled. And they were out shooting Carolina through two periods last night. I didn't watch the third. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Watch the football game. Penguins weren't coming back. Penguins were peppering the net. They weren't giving up a lot of chances the other way in terms of volume. But the quality that they yield on a night-to-night basis, it's as bad a defensive hockey club as I've ever seen here in Pittsburgh. And that's saying something, because you had the Michel Therrien. They're soft. Never seen a group as soft as this. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Penguins had a 20-9 shot advantage, and the goalie can't stop a beach ball because Ned's not a number one. And the defense, every single opportunity that they allow appears to be a quality one. And I don't know how you fix it. I think you should probably, I guess, fire the coach. I don't know if that does it, but they don't play good systematic defensive hockey. It's terrible.
Terrible.
So yes, that absolutely is a story. And if you'd like to weigh in, we'll allow that as well. It's a Friday. We're having fun. And we can also have cathartic experiences, too, at 412-928-9370 on that text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. To the phones?
Absolutely.
To the phones. David in Iowa. Good morning to you, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
What's up?
No, I just think after watching that game last night, man, I think we really can beat the... You know, beat these teams. I think we can go 5-1 in the division and go 2-1 in the non-division games.
You know what, David? The first part of your premise there, when we're looking for that sixth win, Doran, I think that's, and thank you for the call, David. I think that's probably where you'd have to find it.
In the division?
Yeah.
But then you're who you're sweeping, right?
Probably Baltimore. Weirdly, because you've owned them. Now, you haven't owned them with Derrick Henry, but you have had their number. And we saw Harbaugh do another silly Harbaugh thing last night.
Yeah, the challenge.
Oh my God.
What was that, on the 5-yard line or something?
Yeah,
like that?
You are 5 minutes into a football game and you challenge a catch that, if you are correct in your challenge, you save 2 yards.
Yes.
And if you are wrong, which he was, you lose a timeout. Again, 5 minutes into a football game. Risk, reward, Harbaugh. Harbaugh is all the things Steelers fans think Tomlin is. Now, Tomlin has his flaws, no question about it. I think Harbaugh is a lesser version of Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Both very good coaches, both Hall of Fame guys.
Yes.
So you're nitpicking, but all the clock management stuff, all the challenge stuff, all the overthinking stuff that Steelers fans think Tomlin does, and to an extent, rightfully so, Harbaugh does. And Harbaugh does them a lot against the Steelers. So if they were going to sweep a team other than Cleveland, I think I would argue that it would be Baltimore. And their defense is worse than Cincinnati's. It's definitely worse than Cincinnati's.
That's tough. That's a tough call.
Not likely either way.
Like, I'm almost leaning towards beating Kansas City at home on Christmas, which is crazy, right? Like, if you're going to steal one, that's one that you probably steal. You're at home. You're both on, what, 3 days? 3-4 days rest? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Kansas City does play that Sunday, too.
My hope, Doran, seriously, man, because we don't factor this in, but it's very real. Kansas City just keeps winning football games. They might have that number one seed locked up by then.
That's the second to last game of the season?
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is so against what I usually argue in times like this. I always argue I would rather take the easier route. Why wouldn't you? And I plug into my GPS and it says, would you like to pay for the tolls and it's a faster route? Or would you like to go the cheaper way, but it's going to take you an extra 20 minutes? I'm paying the tolls. I'm going the faster route, the easier route. You'd like to see Kansas City's backup because the game then much more obviously winnable for the Steelers. But I do want to see Mahomes v. this defense on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I do. I usually argue the opposite, but I want to see that matchup. But you may well not see him. I mean, they got, what, they're 8-0. Everyone else in the AFC's got two losses or more, don't they?
Yeah.
So they could have this sucker locked up by then. Cincinnati could be out of it at the end, too, in the final game of the season.
It's not looking like it. I mean, I know that they lost, but I don't know what their schedule really is the rest of the way, but I don't know.
Your eyes tell you that Cincinnati is a competitive and potentially really good football team.
Yes.
But here they are at 4-6. They got the Chargers next, then the Steelers. So two, I'd say, coin flippy games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at Dallas, at Tennessee, you should win those games.
Yes.
Then Cleveland.
Yes.
Denver.
Probably.
Pittsburgh. So their schedule's easier than both the Steelers and the Ravens the rest of the way. They're going to be in it. They'll be in it.
They'll be in it. Yep.
They'll be trying. I think it'll be a circumstance where they probably, if you beat the Steelers, you're in the playoffs. If you don't, you're not, kind of deal. Yeah. That's how I think that's going to go. I think they got a better shot of winning a division game than they do against Philadelphia on the road. That's why this, I'm going to get into this more at 7 o'clock, and we'll discuss. I think this Commanders game is the most important non-division game of the season.
Yeah.
Because it's more winnable than at Philly. Every game's winnable, and you got a good football team. I've been saying that for weeks. We've been saying that for weeks. The Steelers are a good football team. But I think Philly on the road's a much taller task than Washington on the road. Even if Washington might be the better football team, it's just not the same kind of place.
Right.
You know how I know that? Because they're handing out a whole bunch of burgundy towels because they're afraid that Steelers fans are going to take that place over, which they will. That ain't happening in Philly.
It's not.
That ain't happening.
It's not.
Shall we go to Ace?
Yes.
Are you Mulsey's son?
Nah, man. I'm Stanley and Merlene's son from Western New York. We live in Washington, D.C. Diehard Pittsburgh fan since 1976.
Are you going to the game, Ace?
Absolutely.
Nice.
I'll be at the game, 50-yard line.
Ooh.
All right. So this is the deals. When everybody was crying about why they're moving fields, this is the reason why. I said it then, and I'm saying it now. We would have to score 30 points when we play one of these teams.
Sure.
And we weren't getting that from field. So you know what? I think we got a shot to beat them. I think, like you said, we'll probably split with both of them. But the thing is, I don't think they're scoring 30 on us. You know, they'll be in the 20s, but they won't get 30 because we're actually going to play some defense. Neither one of these teams have a defense.
Agreed with that, Ace. Which of those teams do you think has a better shot of scoring 30 on the Steelers?
Baltimore.
Mm.
Thank you for the call. Enjoy your time.
He's absolutely right. And we've talked about this multiple times. I mean, that's the reason why they went to Russ is because they need to score, and they know this back half of the season. They know what Cincinnati can do. They know what Baltimore can do. And to keep up with them, you got to score touchdowns. And Russell Wilson does give you that that the best opportunity to do that.
Yes.
But alongside that, like, he's right again, Ace, in these teams scoring 35, 34 points last night. That's not going to happen against the Steelers defense, I don't think. But if you could have Russ score, you'll be able to possibly win because the defense will keep you in the game and you'll have that edge on offense because you can keep up.
Yeah. I think that's well put. Are the Steelers going to be putting up 30 every week like these teams? I don't think so. But with your defense, you shouldn't have to.
Right.
26, 27, 24 most days should be enough. And so your offense is good. Theirs is great. Their defenses are trash. Your defense, presumably great. We're going to find out a lot more on Sunday. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense to me. Texter, Steelers better sweep November. 3 games in 10 days at the end of the season will be very difficult to go 2-1. No doubt about it.
Yep.
No doubt about it. And here are the Ravens getting a little extra rest before they take on the Steelers next week, too. We'll see if it's enough rest for Kyle Hamilton. People, quit texting in. The Steelers were 5-1 in a division last year. It doesn't matter. It doesn't apply.
You're not sweeping the Ravens again, and you did it because they didn't play their starters at the end of the year.
Right. And you missed Joe Burrow.
Right.
Twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. You missed him twice.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't gonna happen again.
You lost to the Browns once, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's not happening. You're not going 5-1. It's not impossible. So I guess I shouldn't say it that way. It's possible, however unlikely, but last year it does not apply. Plus, your quarterbacks were different last year. It's just totally different. It's apples to meatloaf. It's not even apples to oranges. One thing that did kind of strike me, just watching some of the highlights of last night's game and then thinking about where the Bengals are in the standings, boy, there's a ton of pressure on them down the stretch, man, because you don't make the playoffs this year, you're losing Hendrickson, you're losing Higgins. Now, I think they'll probably survive without Higgins. I mean, they did score 34 points last night without him. They scored 41 points last week without him. Maybe playing without him right now is making the best argument to not keep him because you've got Joe Burrow and you can score without that guy. But the Bengals, as we know them, are going to be dead at the end of this year. So you better make the playoffs for one last chance here with this current group.
You're basically missing your window as we watch the weeks go on. And their window was a couple years ago whenever Joe Burrow took them to the Super Bowl, and you beat Mahomes and you had his number, and you just haven't. And Joe Burrow can't stay healthy. You're really looking at that unravel in front of your eyes. Like, they have missed their window. And I honestly think just making the playoffs isn't good enough for that.
No.
But that right now, the bar has been lowered because of how you started. So it's like, hey, if we make the playoffs, anybody has a chance. You know that saying, whenever a team really isn't that good, but they make the playoffs, it's like, oh, we have a chance because it's 0-0 and anybody can win. Yeah, usually teams say that whenever they're not that good and they do make it.
That's right.
That's where they're at right now. And it's hard to come to terms that you missed that window whenever you could have taken full advantage of it. You were so close.
I think if they get in, they are dangerous because of Burrow. I do think that.
They're deep. Like, you're not fixing that defense.
You're not winning the Super Bowl with that defense. The Ravens are not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Like, I have a better feeling that the Ravens have a better chance of fixing their defense than the Bengals. I don't know how, but I feel like the Ravens could fix their defense way quicker than the Bengals ever could. Like, the Bengals just don't have anything.
I think the Ravens do have better personnel defensively.
Right.
I would agree with that. But I think now 10 games in, the Ravens are what they are, and I think the Bengals are what they are defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be able to clean things up, but I don't think you can fix it.
Right, right.
I also think Cincinnati did what the Steelers need to do against Baltimore. They didn't run the ball like at all. 16 carries in the game for the Bengals.
Well, look, and I'm going to let you go here too, but look what they did with the running back. I think he had like 10 catches, Chase Brown.
9 for 52, yep. You're right about that. Targeted him 11 times.
I mean, isn't that Jaylen Warren all day? I mean, he's the same exact back.
With you.
Same back.
That's the blueprint right there to beat Baltimore. I realize they didn't win last night, but it's because their defense also stinks. Anytime they ran the ball in the first half, first quarter, Cincinnati, I went, what are you doing? I realize you got to at least keep them honest, but come on. The Ravens' rushing defense is actually very good, and their pass defense is so bad, so bad. Throwing it 56 times isn't usually a recipe for success. I think against Baltimore, I think that's why you wound up going with Russell Wilson with an eye towards the future, actually for one time seeing the forest through the trees, and hey, we're going to have to throw to beat these guys. You can't run to beat these guys. You got to throw. 56 times, that makes sense to me.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you got to do with Russell Wilson. Maybe not 56 because you're not designed the same way, but probably in the 40s. Throw it 40 times. Mike Williams might help with that. Arthur Smith talked about him yesterday.
Mike's obviously been a very productive player in the NFL. I mean, I remember watching him coming out in the draft. I was in Tennessee those years. We took Corey Davis, both of them won the top 10. Been on the other side of some big plays he's made. But we're excited. You know, anytime you add a good player, and we'll bring him along the right way. And just excited he's here. He's a that fits us, big wide receiver, willing to work. And so see where it goes.
He's going to block too, Doran, and that's something that Arthur Smith talked about. You got to find right fits for your scheme. So we talked about all these different guys they could have acquired, and there are guys that I would have preferred that we would have preferred. But in terms of scheme fit, perfect guy.
Yeah.
I wonder how much he plays this weekend, though.
I'd say 10 to 15 plays.
Yeah.
10 to 15 plays. You get him a couple deep shots. You get him, you know, even just a hitch route, like a quick, hey, here's a ball, feel it. This is, you're in the offense. Okay, get your feet on the ground a little bit like that. Some running plays, just to have him as a threat out there is better than nothing. But
keep the defense honest a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely think that he'll play. But that's honestly, at the end of the day, that's up to him. Now, that's up to him from Wednesday, well, really Tuesday. He got there Tuesday, did his physical, and probably went right to the meeting rooms and started studying. It's up to him and how fast he could expedite, or how can he expedite the process of learning what's going on. Like, if he's a guy that can just come in and pick it up real quick, then he's going to play a lot.
And he's been playing and practicing with the ones. It's not like he has been in there and they have him listed as limited, or they're just getting him working with the backups or anything. No, he's been in there with the ones. So they're trying to fast track him. And from everything I understand about the guy too, is he's a smart and savvy guy.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of him being out there in the first series, especially when you're doing the scripted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You either take a deep shot to him, or like you've been talking about all week long, you have him run a deep route, and then you have Pickens coming with the crosser over the middle, or maybe Calvin Austin. Make them think about him.
Yes.
I like that idea. All right, coming up next, I'm nothing if not accountable, Doran. And I've already apologized for my stupid take on Bengals-Ravens from yesterday. I have to apologize for something else, too.
I'm here.
You're always there for me.
Yeah.
In these moments where I'm vulnerable.
I'll give you a shoulder to lean on.
Thank you.
I lean.
I'm going to have to get up on my tippy toes to get on that shoulder.
That's fine.
Or perhaps you'll come down to my level. I feel like I drag you down there quite often, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, the air's different down there.
40 monkeys escaped from the Alpha Genesis facility. It happened around 9:45 last night, and police are asking anyone to just, if they see them, to stay away. And that's why we're here at the municipal complex here in Yemisi. But here's what police are doing right now to find those monkeys. Like I mentioned, happened 40 monkeys escaped 9:45 last night, and currently police have placed traps all around the area to capture those monkeys. Now, so far, I have no idea what those traps actually look like, and we're trying to get more information about that. But police are also utilizing on-site thermal imaging cameras in an attempt to locate these monkeys. Now, the monkeys are used at the facility for biomedical research, and this isn't the first time those monkeys actually escaped from the Alpha Genesis facility. Back in 2016, 19 monkeys made a break from the compound, but they were all captured about 6 hours later.
These ones not captured yet, Doran. The monkeys are still on the loose. And I need to apologize to the people, because we brought this story up yesterday. South Carolina, 40 chimpanzees escaped. And I said, chimps are cute. Like, I would like to have one as a pet. No, I'm wrong. I thought chimps were the little tiny monkeys.
No.
You told me.
I told you.
You told me. I did a little bit more reading on chimpanzees, Doran.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I found in 1 second. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Of course, at 7 o'clock, we want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Give us a call, a vibe check. How are you feeling about the Steelers against the Commanders? Predictions, players of the game, things of that nature. Chimpanzees, when they fight in the wild And in some instances, when they encounter human beings and they're left to their own devices, they will bite your fingers off and your private parts. Chimpanzees will bite your dong off.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was dead ass wrong.
Yeah,
oh, if you see a chimp, I would take one home. It'd be my pet. No. No, they're bad.
They're, yeah.
They can be real bad. They throw their feces.
Yep.
Also not good.
You ever seen the movie Nope? You definitely haven't, with Jordan Peele.
Nope.
It's surrounded by, like, it is a chimpanzee. The movie, the premise is around a TV show that was like a chimpanzee. The family had a chimpanzee, and he, like, freaked out on set and just, like, ate everybody's face off.
What?
Yep.
Ate their faces off?
Basically.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so chimps, not great.
No.
And they had a longer form news story. Didn't want to play the whole thing. Didn't want to take up too much of people's time. Police in the area were saying, lock your doors.
What?
Because they can open doors.
Well, the thing that worries me is, like, they were in a test lab.
Yeah.
For what?
Great question.
Like, what are they going to be, like, mutant chimps?
And they escaped in 2016, these pesky chimpanzees.
What's going on? Somebody opened the door for them.
Oh,
the inside job.
Had to have been. Because it's not a coincidence that it happens again.
Right.
It's a terrifying thing. My daughters, I might have lost my kids' fingers yesterday with being ignorant on all of this. I wouldn't have my kids at the playground until they found every last monkey.
Yeah, no way.
And they're not going to.
I mean, they're in the trees, man. Like, who knows where they're at? They're not together.
No.
They're not like a pile where you could kind of just put, get a net and scoop them up. Like, you're going to have to, one by one, somebody's got to climb up trees and grab them. Like, think about, like.
And you can't just count on your local animal catchers. You need law enforcement.
This is such a bad situation because you say that there's 40 that got out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Until you get all 40,
yep,
then you're safe. But you don't even know if one passes away. Like, and so what if you're at 39 and it's like, where's that last one? And you're just searching around for it and he's gone. Like,
right.
Or he's...
And one day you're walking your dog.
You're never safe.
You're not safe. Chihuahua gets beaten up by a chimpanzee. We're going to see that next.
Yep, and he just runs and climbs up the house. He's on the roof just cheering like, ah, 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 ah.
Throwing feces about.
Yes, crazy. It's wild.
Biting off dongs.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to apologize, and if such a thing were to happen in Pittsburgh, I need us all to be informed that chimpanzees, no good.
Mm-mm.
No good. They've sent them to space before. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a chimp, though? I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
I think they might be I could be wrong, but they might be the smartest.
They're very smart. Yeah.
They might be the smartest out of the ape family.
Has a chimp gone to space?
I thought you said they did.
I knew a monkey went to space, but now I'm getting confused over chimps and monkeys. Yes, a chimpanzee named Ham was the first great ape to travel to space on January 31st, 1961.
Not a good situation.
He died of heart and liver disease in 1983.
He lived pretty long.
He sure did.
Wow.
Congratulations, Ham. You really broke through that glass ceiling.
Where did he go in space? Like, they just, like, sent him up and then brought him back, or, like... Did he go to the moon or like?
He was on the Mercury spacecraft, obviously. And he went up there for about 6.5 minutes, came back down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So kind of like the whole Elon Musk thing.
So they spent all that money to just do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. One small step for apes, one massive step for ape kind.
Ape kind.